Good morning, I'm Debbie Cruz. It's Tuesday, September 3rd. Not all January flood survivors have qualified for assistance from the San Diego Housing Commission. We hear why next, but first, let's do the headlines. As a new school week starts, Deputy Superintendent Fabiola Bagula is now acting superintendent of the San Diego Unified School District. The district's Board of Education and Superintendent Lamont Jackson agreed on Jackson leaving the district, following an investigation that found allegations made by two former employees were credible. The employees alleged that Jackson made sexual advances that they refused. The San Diego County Board of Supervisors last week postponed a decision on affordable housing in unincorporated areas. They are considering passing an inclusionary housing ordinance, which would require certain new developments to include some affordable units. State law requires giving developers a way to comply without providing affordable housing on site. Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp says she wants to make sure the policy creates economically balanced communities.
To me, it's not inclusionary to say, if you don't want to include lower income in this project, then you can just pay a fee. How does that promote inclusionary housing?
The board directed staff to bring options back to them this winter. There's just a couple more weeks of the summer season left before fall is officially here. But we still have summer weather this week when temperatures are expected to rise slightly throughout the county. Today, temps in the inland areas will be in the low 90s, by the coast and in the mountains. Temperatures will be in the low 80s, and in the deserts, it's expected to reach 109 degrees. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalich, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life, with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
The San Diego Housing Commission was given more than $7 million to assist January flood survivors, but only about one in four of those displaced qualifies for it. Reporter Katie Heisen visited one survivor who thinks that should change.
The funds are restricted to the few hundred families who were still using the county's hotel vouchers on May 23rd. Jessica Kallick says that's not a good measure of need.
Nobody left the hotels because they were secure and recovered. Nobody's secure and recovered. People just ended up in their cars, in tents.
She moved out of the hotels in March. Her grandfather gave her an old travel trailer. She says it was more stable for her son, Chago, who turned 8 the day their home flooded. When she pulled into the RV lot in Marina, she was gut-punched. It backs onto a storm water channel.
We had a storm in March, and it filled up almost all the way, but the water flowed through.
It wasn't like the channel in South Crest, where she used to live, which residents say the city didn't properly maintain.
If you go back to the one by my house at my old place, I thought it was a nature preserve. That's how many plants and trees were back there.
Kallick and others are advocating for the Housing Commission's recovery funds to be made available to all survivors. A commission spokesperson says the amount was based on those few hundred families still in the hotels and will likely all be spent helping them. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
About 80% of overdose deaths in the U.S. are from opioids, primarily illegal fentanyl. That's according to a new CDC report. Health reporter Heidi DeMarco says the study coincides with International Overdose Awareness Day, which was observed over the weekend.
2 6-foot-tall empty chairs displayed on either side of the border represent loss from overdoses, one at Waterfront Park in San Diego and the other at the Monumental Arch in Tijuana.
So what we wanted to do is take the empty chair, which is a symbol that, you know, different groups, both in the U.S. and Mexico, have used to symbolize the missing loved ones precisely on these days.
Cecilia Farfán is a researcher at UC Institute on Global Conflict and Cooperation. She says suffering on both sides of the border is connected.
It's a call to action also from the border to work in a joint manner to address, you know, the health and safety of our communities.
She says there is only one methadone clinic in Tijuana. In the U.S., the overdose reversal drug naloxone is available without a prescription. In Mexico, it's strictly controlled. Farfán believes overdoses are a shared crisis, requiring binational solutions, not limited by borders. Heidi DeMarco, KPBS News.
The modern electrical grid is part of a careful dance with generation and consumer demand. And in the state, generation is moving toward renewable energy. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us how the state's grid is balancing supply and how an electrical testbed at UCSD wants to change the way we consume energy.
It looks like a duck, and grid operators call it the duck curve. If you trace the net daily demand for energy in California, it starts at midnight with the tail. Then it follows the belly of the duck down to nearly zero with midday when solar energy production is at its peak. But then demand zooms up to form the head of the duck in the early evening when demand for energy is highest and the sun is setting.
So that belly of the day is, that's where our massive solar production is occurring.
Brian Murray is director of real-time operations at CAISO, the state's electrical grid, and he says that duck curve represents the challenge of meeting demand in a world of renewable energy, which is variable and can't be produced just by throwing a switch. When he talks about renewables, he mostly means solar power, which provides most of California's electricity during daytime and summer. He says while the state maintains 20,000 megawatts in solar capacity, there's only 8,500 megawatts of wind energy. But as technology and construction move ahead, things will change.
Offshore wind is going to become, you know, that's in the planning horizon for us.
And then there are battery farms. Murray says the growth of that energy source has been exponential.
The batteries has been a major player for us in terms of their flexibility, right? It's not like a steam plant that needs 10 hours to turn on. You know, batteries are essentially always on. They can be discharging and providing energy to the grid, or they can be consuming energy while they're charging. So they're beneficial in multiple areas of the duck curve.
Flexibility is the key to running a modern energy supply op that's moving to renewables. When one resource is not producing, you have to switch to another. When you have more energy production than you can use, you export it to another state or use it to charge your battery farms. And flexibility in demand, called energy load, is also important. In a low-slung building just below the trolley tracks at UC San Diego, engineering researchers show us two rooms filled with computers, breakers, and nodes. The nodes are small boxes that communicate with electrical devices on campus. The new building is the hub of a testbed that will study a big piece of the campus to learn how devices can be turned off and on to make the most of energy supply. Professor Jan Kleisel is principal investigator for what they call DER Connect.
Right, you have water heaters, you have electric vehicles, you have air conditioning systems, you have something as small as a printer that's not being used. So we're looking at thousands of these devices that are spread throughout the campus, and we pick those that are ready to reduce load or increase load, and then we communicate with them and make them run faster or slower, depending on what we need.
Testbed project manager Keaton Shia says the energy demand side is constantly in flux.
So how do we manage the coordination? How do we make these distributed devices smart enough to actually talk back and communicate essential information back to each other so that we can maintain that balance between generation and load across the whole grid?
One example of a smart device is a building sensor that can tell the grid there's nobody on the floor of an office building. The building can be programmed to turn off the lights and air circulation to that floor. The UCSD testbed, like the California grid, also has batteries that can store energy and, if you want, generate energy to simulate a wind power station.
Again, because of that variability, we need to look for flexibility and variation on the load side as well. And that way, again, we can work together, customer and generator provider, to maintain that balance.
A primary goal at UCSD is to create a set of algorithms to program their test grid to supply power where demand actually exists. The political force that's driving changes to California's electrical grid are state laws demanding greater use of renewable energy. Murray, with CAISO, says the state's power supply will have to be 60% renewable energy by 2030 and 100% by 2045. Can we meet those goals? Murray says, yes, we can.
We've got a number of days where we've already produced, 100% of our load by renewables. So to say, can we achieve 60% by 2030? Absolutely. We're pretty close to that already.
Nuclear energy is also clean energy as it doesn't emit greenhouse gases. But Murray says nuclear's production is very inflexible since you cannot easily reduce it or shut it off. So with the growth we're seeing in other clean energies, he says he doesn't think nuclear will be needed in California's future. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Join us again tomorrow for the day's top stories. I'm Debbie Cruz. Thanks for listening and have a great Tuesday.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Ben Folds' Paper Airplane Request Tour on September 19th at the UC San Diego's Epstein Family Amphitheater. For tickets and more information, visit artpower.ucsd.edu.